Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's How Do We Fix It with Richard and Jim.
Food and health. Facts versus myths.
The Science Moms.
I literally thought that everything was going to kill my kid, and I was really scared. And so I started blogging for this parenting site called Grounded Parents and really exploring the facts and science and evidence behind these issues. And I realized that living in fear in this time, really, when our food system is the safest and most abundant it's ever been, is just not a nice way to live. And so that's how I got fired up about this.
How do we fix it?
One of our favorite topics here on How Do We Fix It is the battle between science and superstition.
It's kind of amazing that in the 21st century, you still have to make a case for basic rationality, but you do. Our popular culture promotes all sorts of anti-scientific myths like astrology, conspiracy theories, or vaccine denial.
Anti-science myths are bad, and they affect parents as well as the food their children eat and their health, too. Our guest is Coven Sinopathy, co-founder of Science Moms, a group that's working to dispel bad information and promote facts based on solid research.
Sinopathy writes for Forbes and Slate, and a documentary about her group, called Science Moms, appropriately, came out last month.
If you put into Google, what is a GMO, the first few Google results are bullshit. They're not science-based, they're not reputable sources, they're going to be websites that are sponsored by the organic industry to scare you about your food.
If someone is talking about a synthetic chemical and calling it a toxin, you know they don't know what they're talking about, and then you shouldn't listen to them anymore.
Coven Sinopathy joins us via Skype from Madison, Wisconsin. Welcome to How Do We Fix It?
Hi, thank you for having me.
So you said that Science Moms really started with Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Explain this.
It really did. It's an amusing origin story. The four other Science Moms and I, we all knew each other through the internet and or in real life. And so three of us are scientists in the traditional sense, and two of us are communicators. And we have always had this Facebook chat going. When we had realized that a group of celebrity moms, including Sarah Michelle Gellar and Gwyneth Paltrow, had spoken out in opposition to, quote, GMOs, and I have GMOs in quotes here for a reason, and Allison and Layla are just huge Buffy fans, so they were devastated. It was as if their hero had slain them. And so we decided to write an open letter to these celebrities. And the Science Moms filmmaker came across that open letter, and that's how it all started.
How was that letter received?
We did not receive a response, spoiler alert, from Gwyneth Paltrow or Sarah Michelle Gellar. But it was well received, especially by the scientific and agriculture community. So we ended up having several hundred science parents sign on. So that letter essentially called for the celebrities to use their platforms responsibly.
Tell me a little bit more about why you're qualified to talk about food and health.
Anyone can be a science mom or a science dad or a science parent. So to your question, what qualifies us? We aren't really telling viewers of this film what to believe. Rather, we want to start a dialogue on how to think and how to search for the right answers and find out what's credible and separate that from BS, essentially.
So how do you get fired up by this? Was it because you're a mom and you just felt that moms like you, parents like us, are just fed a diet of unfortunate claims and hype?
Well, I'm going to admit something to you guys.
Okay.
I rarely admit this, but I've always been really into science and communication, but I'm also a very gullible person. So when I was a teenager, I would watch infomercials and I would want every single one of those products. But it was really after I became a mom and I realized that so much of this fear-based marketing was targeted to parents, but moms especially, which is a bit sexist, and that's a whole other can of worms. And I was terrified. I was terrified as a new mom. I actually had postpartum OCD, which is an anxiety disorder. I literally thought that everything was going to kill my kid, and I was really scared. And so I started blogging for this parenting site called Grounded Parents and really exploring the facts and science and evidence behind these issues. And I realized that living in fear in this time, really, when our food system is the safest and most abundant that it's ever been, is just not a nice way to live if you don't have to. And so that's how I got fired up about this, but I remain fired up for several other reasons.
So, okay, let's get into some of the specific topics that you're fired up on. One is vaccines. What's the misinformation there? What's the problem with the way that is discussed?
There are so many problems with how it's discussed, but mainly there's this idea that vaccines cause harm. There are too many too soon. And understandably, it's scary to trust a pharmaceutical company, and pharmaceutical companies and big biotech companies. They're not, of course, benign. We know that they've done questionable things. So because of this distrust and this fear over our children, anxiety over our children, it's easy for people at the top of these anti-vaccine movements with either ideological and or financial agendas to plant fear that vaccines cause autism, cancer, that they're full of toxins, that that they're going to hurt your children. But also there's this other leg to this, and that's this idea that natural is always better. So vaccines seem unnatural, and people want to believe that we can just treat or prevent illness naturally. So again, it's such a broad topic because it touches on so many different anxieties, and some of these anxieties are justified. So that's tricky.
Now, you mentioned the spread of information on the internet and how it's made it so much easier to get all kinds of information, both good and bad. We've talked a lot on How Do We Fix It about some of the problems with the big digital platforms, Google and Facebook in particular, that they sometimes tend to favor the most extreme version of a particular topic. If you search for information about vaccine safety on Google, what do you find?
Yeah, I mean, it depends somewhat on your search history, but because, of course, Google kind of follows what you do. But in my experience, depending, of course, on what you put into that search bar, if you put in just vaccines or if you put in a specific vaccine or maybe the query, are vaccines safe, you'll get a few hits that are credible, but you'll also get who knows what kind of mommy blog or some marketer selling a supplement that is supposedly better than vaccines. And I think to your point that Facebook and Google kind of like showing the most extreme versions of things, that kind of plays on what I think is just a normal thing that humans like to do. And that is to simplify sometimes very complex issues and put up this false scapegoat. So if people are worried about autism and they believe that vaccines are the cause of autism, then it's easy to just avoid that one specter and feel as if you have this control.
That raises a point also about GMOs. And what are they, and how long have they been around, and is there any cause for concern with them?
So GMOs, by the current definition, are any organism or, in this case, crop that was created with modern molecular genetic engineering, and it's a transgenic crop. So it has a gene or genetic material from some other unrelated organism in its genome. Now, there are newer technologies, gene editing technologies, that can even more precisely edit the genomes of these crops, and they may or may not be considered transgenic depending on the specific trait and the specific editing that happened. But the non-GMO project, for one, plans to categorize this as a GMO. The definition of the GMO, it kind of depends who you ask. Now, to your question on whether there's any concern, there's no concern with any genetically engineered food crop on the market.
No concern?
No concern.
Why? Why no concern about any genetically modified food product that's on the market?
I've got a health concern.
I've got to preface this by saying I'm the non-scientist in the room, so dumb it down for me a little.
Sure. So dialing it back a little bit, there's no health concern. Now, outside of that, it kind of depends what matters to you. So it is true that there's a lot of genetically engineered corn out there, and a lot of that is turned into corn syrup. So are you worried about high sugar diets in that case, then maybe one could argue that they're concerned about genetically engineered corn. But when it comes to the breeding techniques of genetic engineering in and of themselves, there's no concern. And when it comes to eating, consuming these products, there's no concern. Now, again, when you're looking at the larger socioeconomic issues, sure, we could argue that we're concerned. But again, this doesn't really have anything to do with genetic engineering. This has to do with policy and some corporations control what farmers choose to do, et cetera, et cetera. So there's another myth that I can touch on, is that farmers are kind of forced to grow these crops and they're victims of these big companies. And really, when you talk to farmers who grow these crops, the vast majority of them do it for very good, calculated reasons.
So it would seem to me that telling people they should take a scientific, rational approach to issues around food and health, that wouldn't be controversial, but it is. Tell us a little bit about the backlash you've received both from your letter and from the documentary.
Sure. Yeah, it shouldn't be controversial, because essentially what we call for is the nuance that's really required to examine these issues. Unfortunately, we want things to be simple, but they're just not. I mean, I learn more about our food system every day, but we've received a lot of backlash. I mean, a lot of good response, but from a handful of some of the typical characters when you're involved in this world as I am. And essentially their argument is that we've been paid off, maybe under the table, by some of these big ads.
By Monsanto or one of the big...
By Monsanto.
Yeah.
So let's believe that this was a crowdfunded film, which it absolutely was a crowdfunded film.
And you're not paid off by Monsanto. You have no ties at all to that organization or company.
Well, you know... I should be careful, because I've seen people get caught on semantics before. But in terms of ties, I have no financial ties to Monsanto.
Let's just qualify this. We've been saying Monsanto, Monsanto, Monsanto. What is Monsanto? What do they do? And why is that company so incredibly controversial? I mean, they sell seeds, right?
Yeah, they sell seeds. They sell agricultural chemicals and other products. They do a lot of R&D. It's kind of a complex situation, but the Monsanto of the past, people will talk about Monsanto manufacturing Agent Orange, which they did before the company switched over to an ag biotech company. Monsanto was among, I want to say it was 9 companies contracted by the government to produce Agent Orange. So that did happen, but Monsanto will argue, well, that was a different company. But that's one of the reasons that they're so demonized. I mean, I could name tons, but there's also this idea that there's this covert effort or conspiracy to control the food system, to poison people. And I've seen no evidence of that, and I don't believe that that's the case.
This is How Do We Fix It? I'm Richard Davies.
And I'm Jim Meggs.
And we're talking with Coven Sinopathy.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Coven is a member of this group called Science Moms, and they're trying to bring some science into the way we discuss food and health issues. And so let's talk a little bit about some solutions. I know that better science education is important in terms of helping us understand these things, but could we simply just be more skeptical consumers? I'm thinking in particular of the labels that we see all over products that claim that they're natural, mm-hmm. they're organic, and we're all supposed to go, yes, they're obviously more healthy than the products that don't say that.
Yeah, I mean, the labeling atmosphere right now in the marketplace plays on the modern adult's desire for this instant gratification when it comes to information. And I can understand it, but again, it boils down to wanting simple answers. So if we go to the store and we see a label like natural or non-GMO or made with real sugar, that's a good one. What does real sugar really mean? That we get this illusion of responsibility and healthfulness that isn't really there. I mean, if you ask most registered dietitians, they'll tell you that the important nutrition information is all on the back of the package, and that the nutrition facts panel, the ingredients lists, and then allergens are listed, and that's it in terms of nutrition. So the front of package labels, they're just there to play on our desires to be healthy and our desires to be responsible.
So have you ever debated a vaccine denier?
I have invited several of these deniers to debate with me. They have not taken me up on the offer, but I regularly go head to head with them, either directly or indirectly on social media or in my columns. And yeah, there is a debate on whether or not it's worth arguing with them. And I would argue that depending on who it is, if it's a very prominent leader in the anti-vaccine or anti-GMO or other movement, it's worth debating them. Although you will never sway this person, there is almost always a silent group of fence-sitters following along. And that's where it's worthwhile.
What are a couple of arguments you use to parents who are perhaps fence-sitters or skeptical about what you're saying?
It's really tough to debate a fence-sitter, or especially someone who is opposed, like just a parent on the internet or someone I encounter on the playground. But I find that these are dialogue, so it's a marathon, not a sprint. Someone who's a fence sitter, the first thing they worry about is whether they trust the source. So if I make a new friend and then it turns out that they're anti-vaccine, they're more likely to listen to me than if I'm arguing with them on the internet. So I prefer to ask questions rather than throw citations. So if someone says, well, you know, I don't know about this particular vaccine. Oh, really? Why? Because XYZ. Well, where did you hear that? I heard it from this blog. oh, why would that blogger write it? And it kind of helps plant doubt and guide the person in the right direction of where to look for good answers.
Good way to end Coven Sinopathy of the group Science Moms joining us on How Do We Fix It. Thanks very much.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Jim, let me start with this. Sometimes the word myth gets a bad name. Myth can be helpful in understanding our place in the world, our national identity, also matters of faith and religion, matters of the heart. But myths have no role in explaining things that are perfectly well covered by science and by rational endeavor.
I would argue that the zone that's covered by rational inquiry keeps getting bigger, and the zone that we attribute to myth keeps getting smaller. We don't need myths to explain the origins of the planet or you know, why the sky is blue,
But they do help with matters of national identity, and I think they do help when it comes to matters of faith. I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
I believe in God, and I think that myth has its helpful role in areas that science can't investigate.
Right. I'll grant you that. I think where myths become worrisome is because of the emotional appeal of non-scientific ideas. For
right.
example, in this show, we're talking about this sort of deep mythic idea that there is a natural world, almost like a Garden of Eden, and then there's the world of civilization, which is corrupted by fallen man with chemicals and science and machines and capitalism. And it's very, very tempting, as Coven points out really well, to say, okay, everything natural is good, chemicals are bad, any plant manipulated is automatically bad. And the ability to use science to answer those questions, I really think, is under attack today.
And the other thing that's under attack is the need sometimes for complexity. The answers aren't always simple, and yet many people are in a rush to default to the most sweeping, simple explanation of everything.
Yeah, and that's true for these ideas about the dangers of certain foods. It's true for the ideas about vaccines causing autism. And it's true for a lot of conspiracy theories. You know, the truth is messy. Sometimes you don't have all the facts. The process of science, like history, like journalism, is sifting through a confusing world, coming up with the best explanation you can, and then testing that with facts, discarding the views that don't hold up. That's complicated. That's hard. It's a challenge for everyone. So much easier to just believe the conspiracy theory, believe the celebrity who tells you that, you know, vaccines aren't natural.
But I don't want to be too dismissive here. The concerns about industrial agriculture or a small number of companies, say, dominating the distribution of seeds or agricultural chemicals, that's not a made-up concern. That's real.
No, and I think that you can be concerned about, are they spraying too much Roundup? You know, is this style of agriculture have certain environmental impacts? Those are legitimate concerns. It's not fair to bundle them up and say, that's all the fault of GMOs. Maybe there are certain ways that you want to regulate the use of certain chemicals. I mean, they are heavily regulated now. But so it's important to draw the distinctions. Again, that's hard. And, you know, Coven makes his point about this kind of social justice worldview, which tends to bundle everything together. So it's Monsanto, it's chemicals, it's a big capitalist corporation. They're automatically all bad, instead of stepping back and analyzing it part by part and saying which parts are okay and which parts do we need to regulate or manage differently.
It's How Do We Fix It. I'm Richard Davies.
And I'm Jim Meggs.
Another enlightening conversation. Our producer is Miranda Schaefer. Our music is by Lou Stravinsky. We get social media help from Michelle Curry. And our show is a production of Davies Content. We make digital audio for companies and nonprofits. Check us out and also look at our website, daviescontent.com. And thanks for listening.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.